I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Indeed, it is it's the best day of my life when you get a chance to talk NBA basketball on this show. If you want to grab a line between now and the end of the show, we'll work through some more of your phone calls, 855-212-4CBS. But to get a chance to talk a little NBA basketball on a holiday weekend, what could be better than getting to do it with my my next guest, who you can catch on SiriusXM's NBA channel. And you can also catch him on NBA TV. Nobody better when it comes to breaking down the NBA. And with the finals now set, Toronto and Golden State, a good chance to get to break this down with my good friend. You can get him on Twitter, at HoopsCritic, Brian Geltzeiler, joining me on the show. Geltz, really appreciate you making time on a holiday weekend for a few minutes to talk these NBA finals. What was the biggest thing that changed in your mind, the biggest adjustment, the biggest change that flipped that Toronto-Milwaukee series over to Toronto's side?
The defense that Toronto played and the way they walled off Giannis was absolutely outstanding. But they, you know, Toronto made it a point to contest a lot more three-point shots than Milwaukee did. And Milwaukee had a certain style of play where they kind of prided themselves on letting the right guy shoot. And in the end, letting the right guy shoot equated to, against Toronto, letting too many guys shoot. I mean, let's be honest about it, Shawnee. Should Freddie VanVleet be going 14 or 17 in the last three games from three without anybody coming to bother him at all? So when you look at adjustments, the other thing is this. Mike Budenholzer tried to do things not all that differently than he did in the regular season. That was a mistake on his part, because when you look at Nick Nurse shortening his rotation, Look, Norman Powell didn't contribute all year. He's been a central part of that bench here in the playoffs. And that's the type of stuff Nurse has been able to unearth. By the same token, playing his most important guys 40-plus minutes game in and game out. These were the situations why Kawhi Leonard did 22 games of load management over the course of the regular season. So when you see Giannis, you know, sitting three different times in the third quarter, you know, that's something to make you scratch your head. The other thing is this. The Bucks got away from doing things as fundamentally solid as they did. Little things, like you had a couple situations in the last two games where Giannis had the ball in the post, they doubled him from the right side, and he won't go into a left-handed dribble. Just not using left hands, you know, crazy stuff like that, not boxing out, too many missed box outs and on the offensive glass. But again, for Toronto, there was a belief among them around Kawhi Leonard that if they played the kind of defense they played, they would get just enough offense to be able to beat this team. And that, listen, walling off Giannis and keeping him on the perimeter and doubling when he got low was probably, to answer your question, the biggest adjustment they could have made.
Is Kawhi Leonard the best player in the NBA right now, Geltz?
No. I honestly, Shawnee, Kevin Durant. It's still going to be Kevin Durant. Is Kawhi Leonard the second best player in the NBA? I don't think there's any doubt about it. He's that good. Is he a guy that's better than Giannis right now? He is. Is he better than James Harden right now? It's not even close. He is the second best player in the NBA, but I do think that Kevin Durant's the best player in the league. I just think he is. And listen, you know me. I am as big a Kawhi fan as there is. I'm so incredibly impressed with everything that I've seen him do here. And it's not only his play. It's how he carries himself. It's his humility. It's his poise. It's his composure. And we talk about, there's an overused term in sports, leading by example. That's Kawhi Leonard. You know what? You want to play with Kawhi Leonard, you need to commit yourself to the work, his work ethic for the game. You need to bust your backside. He doesn't tolerate any less, but he's not going to get in your face. He's just not going to pass you the ball. And listen, he can get to his spots and score all on his own. You have to kind of step your level up to play with Leonard. And last night after that game, Shawnee, the level of pride and the appreciation those fans showed that players was a special, special thing. This is an entire nation behind that team, not just a particular city. It's really, really special that the NBA Finals are leading the United States for the first time this week.
Yeah, no, Geltz, it's absolutely cool. I agree with you, and I love seeing Toronto get, to a degree, get paid off on this gamble they've made of bringing Kawhi in. I know I've asked you this question before, But they haven't been in the NBA Finals when I've asked you this question before. So I'll ask it again. Is the door open even just a little bit right now for Kawhi Leonard to potentially stay in Toronto?
Well, he's about to go play an NBA Final for the Raptors. It would be naive and borderline irresponsible to say the door is not at least a little bit open.
Right.
But I still believe in my heart of hearts he's going to go to the Clippers. Now, they're going to play the Golden State Warriors. You know, without Kevin Durant, quite likely for the majority of the series, maybe without Kevin Durant for the whole series. And if that's what happens here, they have a better chance than they would if Kevin Durant was playing. I mean, you know, you just asked me a question. It's the best player in the game. It's unfortunate the team you're playing has this embarrassment of riches and can roll out a team that's a top team in the league without the best player in the league. But that's what you're up against. So, could they win? Yeah, they could win. And if they win, you kind of have to look at things all over again. But realize this. When you look at the team that's left there that he would sign a five-year deal around, you know, Gasol's an older guy. Kyle Lowry's an older guy. Ibaka's getting up there in years. Danny Green's in the last year of a contract. The way he's played in these playoffs, they're going to be in no hurry to bring him back. What do you got there? You got Siakam and Anunoby, who didn't play at all in these playoffs because he had an appendectomy. So there's not much there in terms of what Kawhi can do something with long-term. Other options he's looking at, i.e. the Los Angeles Clippers, have a lot more there and the capability to get a lot more. So I think Kawhi he's a unique kind of guy in that he is not going to get swept up in the emotion of all this and make a decision that's not good for his career and good for his life and the lifestyle that he wants to lead. So, yes, I don't believe that he stays with the Raptors no matter what. But, again, if they win a title, you can never underestimate how sentimental people can get in with that kind of success and working as hard as Kawhi Leonard has worked and where he's come from and where he was last year to be at this point right now.
Brian Geltzeiler joining me talking some NBA on CBS Sports Radio. All right, Geltz, so you just said it. Top two players in the world right now, Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard. We're going to be without KD at least for a little bit longer here with this calf injury. So are the storylines in this series juicier? Overall storylines with or without Kevin Durant playing in this series?
Juicier without him because the basketball matchup's better. Like, if Durant's on the floor, Kawhi's got to guard Durant. What Durant not being there brings into the mix is Kawhi guarding Steph Curry, which is fascinating. Shawnee, don't lose sight of the fact that the Milwaukee-Toronto series changed when Kawhi Leonard was moved onto Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yep.
And he made him inefficient in that series. He had him afraid to go left. He crowded him. What you have now is the ability for, if Toronto's really getting eaten alive by Steph Curry, you know what, we can put Kawhi on Curry. That option remains. When Kevin Durant's on the floor, you're never going to get away with putting Kawhi on Curry. You can try and put Siakam on Kevin Durant. It's not going to work as well, just like Siakam on Giannis didn't work as well. So the fact is, you got two guys on the Warriors, if you're the Raptors, that you need Kawhi to guard. One guy's not playing in at least the first two games, if not more, gives you the opportunity to put Kawhi on the other. It's a major, major equalizer in this series.
Geltz, what did you think of Giannis walking out of the press conference after the game last night?
I think Giannis is 24 years old. I think expectations got outsized for him. I think he got schooled by a better player who had a lot more experience in those spots than he ever had. And I think it's all a learning experience for him. And I can understand the emotion of that moment and not want to necessarily answer questions about failures that you just had. And listen, when you get nervous and these things happen to you, I mean, Trey, let's be honest. Giannis shooting air balls at the Scotiabank Center, for the most part, is the equivalent of a little league kid standing on the pitcher's mound all alone and can't throw strikes and walking people around the batters. That's the look he's got in his face. I mean, it's, you know what I mean? It's a mess with what happened to him mentally and the way he melted down. It's kind of par for the course that he'd walk out. But again, he's 24. Like, he'll learn from this stuff. He'll get better. His game needs to improve. He's got to improve his left hand. He's got to improve his free throw shooting. He has to improve his perimeter shooting. But remember one thing about this kid. He came into the league as a 6'8" beanpole. He's a 6'11" monster right now with a body like Arnold Schwarzenegger. The dude has gotten himself into tremendous shape and worked his tail off, and this is all he cares about. He will get there, and he will get better. The fact that he's as angry and upset as he got, and he had a little too much emotion involved, that's probably a good sign for him over the course of the rest of his career. LeBron failed early, Sean. Michael Jordan failed early. You can go up a list of guys, everybody except for Magic and Bird, all failed early in their careers. For Giannis, these are the failures he's got to go through probably to get him to the promised land at one point or another.
Yeah, no, it's a great point, Geltz. Absolutely. Brian Geltzeiler joining me on CBS Sports Radio. That said, Geltz, he can sign for the Supermax after next season because he's made All-NBA a couple of times here, and he's going to win the MVP. Do you think, and I don't know that this is a crazy question, because you look at the 15 guys who made first, second, third team All-NBA, hell, half of them are playing on different teams than they were just a few years ago. Do you think Giannis is long for Milwaukee, if you had to guess?
Yeah, I would think he is. I think that for Giannis, this is a community that has fallen in love with him. It's a place where he's comfortable, and I don't know that Giannis needs to go Hollywood. There are guys that need to go Hollywood. We know that. But for Giannis, I don't think he needs to move somewhere. I think for him, he would pride himself. He's made roots in Milwaukee in trying to bring another star player there. He has the run of that organization, and I do think that Giannis is bright enough to understand he's not going to have that everywhere he goes. So the Lakers thinking that they brought in Jason Kidd as an assistant to somehow recruit Giannis in 2 years is as comical can be when Kidd does a backdoor job on Frank Vogel and has that job to himself within 18 months. So you know what I mean? So like you hear stuff like that, and it makes you scratch your head. To me, Giannis is all about Milwaukee. Milwaukee's all about Giannis. I'd have a tough time believing he's leaving.
Who do you think Anthony Davis is playing for when the season tips off next October?
Gun to my head, I think it's Boston. But if it ended up being New York, I wouldn't be surprised. If it's Los Angeles, I'll be incredibly surprised. Because I just don't think the Lakers have enough. Listen, the question becomes this for Boston. Are you willing to give them Tatum and Brown? Because if you are, you have him. The problem for Boston there is that if you're going to give him Tatum and Brown, you better damn well know that you're getting Kyrie Irving back. And you know what? They're probably not getting Kyrie Irving back, Sean. So you want to put all that in on Anthony Davis, all those assets, the thought that maybe you could lose him at one point or another in the future. It's a legitimate question. But if that's not the case, see, the problem with what the Lakers are going to offer, yes, this number four pick is fine, Sean. It's great. But the players you're going to offer, Ingram, Kuzma, Ball, before you know it, you got to sign them to second contracts. Yeah. And unless you know you want these guys, the second contracts, trading for them is risky business. Listen, Brandon Ingram's got a blood clot problem. Lonzo Ball has been nothing but hurt throughout his NBA career. Kyle Kuzma couldn't guard you. So, I mean, what are you doing with these guys? Tatum and Brown, I can promise you this, David Griffin's re-signing them long-term. And the thing is, if you can't get these kinds of guys that you want going into second contracts in a deal for Anthony Davis, take the pick-laden package. And the Knicks have the best pick package there is. The Knicks are going to give you the three in this year's draft. They have Dallas is unprotected in 21, a Dallas protected in 22. And then they can give you guys early in rookie scale deals like Kevin Knox and Mitchell Robinson in a deal. You unload Dennis Smith and Ntilikina to make it work for cap purposes. You could see the Knicks getting a deal here. Listen, the Clippers could do something similar, but they don't have this year's three pick and the specter of getting R.J. Barrett to hang over somebody's head. So, yeah, I think Boston, if you're putting a gun to my head, but if we're going to do this, I'm going to say Boston 51%, Knicks 49%. I think the Knicks have a very meaningful offer out there for Anthony Davis.
There you go. And, Geltz, you know Kuzma couldn't guard me. I got the wettest jumper of bald 50-year-old men around, man. You know I'm silky.
Listen, Shawnee, it's all about getting your butt into Kuzma. And what did I know about you, baby? You got butt. You're shoving Kuzma's going to be sitting in the first row when you do your drop step on him with that tushy of yours.
Dude, I fight dirty. You know it, Geltz. I fight dirty. Absolutely.
I love it.
Brian Geltzeiler, SiriusXM, NBA TV, and making time on a Memorial Day weekend. Geltz, if you've been partying and cooking out all day, it didn't show in your interview, man. You knocked it out of the park as usual, brother.
Shawnee, I bet you say that to all the boys. Have a very happy and healthy holiday, you and your family, my friends, and we'll talk very soon.
Okay, sounds good, Geltz. I really appreciate it. Brian Geltzeiler joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Love that guy. That was funny.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.